I'm Danny Brown, and you're listening to a message about living free. And today specifically, we're talking about living free from spiritual oppression. You're going to want to check this out. Our key verse for this message is John chapter 8, 31 to 36. And it says, starting at verse 32, "Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." This is Jesus talking, and we get a picture. He wants people free. And verse 36 of that portion of scripture says, "Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you really will be free." So Christ's heart is to see people living free. When we look at Galatians 5, verse 1, we see it even more clearly. It says this, Galatians 5, verse 1, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." So Christ wants people free. And we've looked in the past weeks at a number of ways that God wants us to live free. Specifically today, we're going to look at living free from spiritual oppression. This is maybe not a common topic and maybe not one you've heard about before, but I want you just to stick with me here. Hear what Scripture has to say, and I can tell you this, you will be blessed and you will see areas where you can live free. So Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. It says, "And you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." So Jesus, in his time on earth, while he was here, he went around doing good, it says, and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. The devil oppresses, and in this portion we see that there was an oppression, and sometimes it involves sickness. And also there would be other things that come with oppression. So when we talk about spiritual oppression, one of the first things we have to really bring out is the fact that there is a spiritual realm beyond this flesh realm or natural realm. Obviously, if you know, you're listening to this, you're like, "I don't think so." Just listen in, and hopefully you'll understand it a little more. There is a spiritual realm that we don't see with our natural eyes. It's real, it's there, but we don't see it. And so for many, they ignore it. But obviously ignoring something doesn't change it or make it go away. It just means we have no understanding of it. But let's look at what the scriptures say about the spiritual realm. So 2 Kings chapter 6 and 15 to 17. Now, I'll just give you a little bit of backstory before I get into those verses. This is a portion of scripture where there's a prophet in the Old Testament named Elisha. And Elisha has a servant with him and lives in a mountain area. And God continually speaks to Elisha, so much so that he hears what the king of the enemy, who sometimes comes and attacks Israel, he hears what that king is planning to do. And then he goes and tells the king of Israel, so they don't go to that area, or they don't go where the enemy's planning to be. And the enemy king, he comes to his men and he says, "Who's the spy? Who's telling them everything?" And they say, "Well, there's no spy, but there's this prophet guy named Elisha, and he tells them what you're speaking in your bedroom." Like he hears it clearly. And so they send an army to go get Elisha. They're like, "Well, we're going to get rid of this guy who's hearing and knowing what the king speaks." So they send an army, and in the morning, when they wake up, the mountain area where they are is surrounded by an enemy army. And Elisha's sitting there with the servant, and the servant becomes really afraid and looks at the prophet and says, "What are we going to do?" And this is what Elisha says to him in verse 16. He says, "Don't be afraid," Elisha told him, "for there are more on our side than on theirs." Then Elisha prayed, Oh Lord, open his eyes and let him see. The Lord opened the young man's eyes, and when he looked up, he saw the hillside around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots of fire. What happened here? Elisha asked for God to open the young man's eyes to see the spiritual realm, the unseen realm, and when he saw it, he was amazed at the angel armies that surrounded Elisha. So there is a spiritual realm that we don't always see, but it is there, and it is important. Luke chapter 2, verse 9. Actually, I'll read 8 and 9 first, and then also 13 and 14. Listen to what it says. And of course, this is a well-known portion of Scripture. You're going to recognize it. And it says, that night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them, and they were terrified. This is the acknowledgement, the proclamation that Christ is born in a stable, and it's a spiritual realm that the shepherds encounter. An angel begins to proclaim, and they see it, and they are scared, and the angel tells them about the baby Jesus in a manger. And then in verse 13 and 14, it says, suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. The shepherds and the host of angels were connected at that point. The shepherds suddenly saw the supernatural realm that was always there. Okay, so angels announcing, a host of angels, the army of heaven. Now, obviously, there is a spiritual realm which also contains not only angels of the Lord, but also demon spirits. Daniel chapter 10 and verse 12 and 13. Now, Daniel was a man of God who heard from God, and he had dreams and visions and saw things in the spirit. And he is, at this point that I'm going to read to you, he has been praying for many days, fasting, wanting a word from the Lord about their situation. And finally, a messenger comes to talk to him, an angel. And verse 12, we read this. Then he said, the messenger, the angel, don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before God, your request has been heard in heaven. I have come in answer to your prayer, but for 21 days, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. Then Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me, and I left him there with the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia. So here is Daniel praying for understanding and to hear from God. An angel comes, speaks to him, and reveals that there's a spiritual realm and there was a battle going on at that time. And also interestingly, he says there was a spirit prince of an area. So there's a spiritual realm that we don't see. Now, obviously, we're excited about the angels that are out there protecting, and the part about the Satan and his army, not so fun to look at, but it's real, and we should have some understanding about it. Satan and his spiritual forces are at war with God's creation. So I want to look at that a little bit right now. Revelation 12 and verse 7 to 17. I'm not going to read that all, but I'm giving you that so you can read it after you hear this message. Revelation 12, 7 to 17. So we read, there was war in heaven. And as you're reading through this portion, you'll see that there's war in heaven, and that Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels. And the dragon was called Satan, the serpent. And Satan and his angels were cast out of heaven to the earth. And then it says that the dragon or Satan had great wrath because he knows that he has a short time. And it said that he persecuted the woman and he went to make war with the remnant of her seed. In other words, it's telling us that Satan and the angels that fell with him are now known as his demons or spirits. They're at war with God's creation and specifically God's people. So that is a fact that we see in Scripture, and again, unseen but real. Ephesians 6 and verse 10 to 13 in the New Living Translation says this: "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places." So there is a battle, and Satan and his angels or evil spirits are at war. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 and 5 says this: "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." So here we clearly read that there is a spiritual realm and there is a battle there that we play a part in. So this is something that just because we don't see doesn't mean it doesn't affect us. It definitely does on a daily basis. And if we're aware of it, we can do warfare, as it says in this verse, and do it well. All right? We can live free from spiritual oppression. Many people live under spiritual oppression, not understanding what it is and unable to deal with it. And often we try to deal with spiritual problems in the natural and it doesn't change them. So understanding this and knowing how to deal with it is very, very important. Here's a few types of spiritual oppression. This is not an exhaustive list. Just I'm going to give you a few types today that we see in Scripture. So sickness can be a spiritual oppression. Lies and confusion can be spiritual oppression. Fear can be spiritual oppression. Stealing, death, and destruction can be spiritual oppression. All right, Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. This is the verse we begin with. And remember, it says that Christ came, went about doing good. And it says Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. You know, when we talk about the unseen spiritual, we understand that there's also a natural side to things. And I just want to say that. And we understand that both play a part. What do I mean by that? Especially when we talk about sickness. With sickness, there can be a spiritual side to it, but there's also a natural side to sickness. If we don't eat well, we probably won't be healthy. So our actions, the sowing and reaping, play a part. If we don't take care of ourselves, that can cause our bodies to be weaker. So there is the natural and the spiritual that work together. You know, today as we're doing this message, I'm thinking to myself, this is maybe a little bit of a heavy message for some. And I don't want you to be feeling heavy while you hear this. I want you to understand this is going to bring freedom for you. Last message I did, I just kind of broke out and did a little bit of a rap song. And I had some different comments about that. You know, not everybody likes rap. Actually, it's not one of my favorites, but I couldn't help myself. But I told someone this week, you know what? I'll do a country song for you. And I was kind of joking, and they said, oh, I definitely want to hear that. So I think it's appropriate if I do a little bit of a country song for you about spiritual oppression. I know what you're thinking. You're kidding, right? Okay, it's only part of a country song. Let me do it for you right now. I have a guitar here. Hold on. All right, here we go. Okay, I wrote this country song for you about 15 minutes ago. It will never be famous, but this is for you. Are you ready? Depression. I am so disappointed. No one. Song. Yeah. All right. Let's get back to the message. Hey, people wonder, why do you do crazy things like that? You know what? God has put us here on this earth to live abundantly and to live free. And you know, I'm talking about something that's pretty heavy for some people, but life does not have to be heavy. Life does not have to be burdensome to the point where you wonder why you're here. And I can tell you this, if you don't have humor, if you're not able to laugh, you are not living free. You aren't. You are living tied up and you need to get free. People who live free can laugh. They can laugh at themselves and they can laugh at life. So please understand that as we finish up through this message of spiritual oppression, do not be burdened. Okay, so we're talking about a few kinds of spiritual oppression that we see through scripture. We mentioned sickness can be. Also lies and confusion can be spiritual oppression. John 8:44 says this, "For you are the children of your father, the devil, and you love to do the evil things he does. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Satan was and is the father of lies. Also, 1 Corinthians 14 and 33. It just simply says, God is not the author of confusion. In other words, the enemy is the author of confusion. So we see that the enemy, or the spiritual oppression of lies and confusion, can be spiritual from the enemy. So listen, sometimes if there's a lot of confusion going on, you need to take some time and pray and rebuke that oppression. Okay, just, we're going to get a little more into the praying part at the very end of this, but know that it's not from God. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7 shows us that fear can be a spiritual oppression. And that verse says this, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." So in other words, there is a spirit of fear. So fear can be oppression. If you find yourself with a lot of fear or anxiety or worry, worry is a nice polite word we use, but it's really fear. If you're continually worrying about things, it could be spiritual oppression. And also John 10 verse 10, we read that spiritual oppression can be stealing, death, and destruction. And Jesus is talking here, and he's likening himself to the good shepherd, but he says the one who is not the good shepherd is a thief. And listen in verse 10, it says, "The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose," this is Jesus, "is to give them a rich, satisfying life." Wow. Christ wants you to live abundantly. He wants you to live free. The enemy wants to defeat and discourage. Christ wants you free. Jesus made it possible for us to live free from spiritual oppression. The scripture is clear, and I want to give you a few of those before we wrap up today. 1 John 3 and verse 8. It says, in the second half of the verse, it says, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." So the purpose that Christ came to earth and was manifest to everyone was so that he could destroy the works of the devil. In other words, Christ came to defeat that enemy, and that is good news for you and I. Luke 13 verse 11 to 12 says this. This is a story about a woman who Jesus healed from a spirit of infirmity or sickness. Okay? And in this story, there's a woman who is bowed over, and it's been 18 years that she has been bowed over, in other words, crippled, bent over. It says she can't straighten up, and Jesus heals her. Let's read it, verse 11, so Luke 13, 11. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bent over and could no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. So for this woman, her sickness was definitely spiritual oppression, and Christ dealt with it, because Christ came to deal with spiritual oppression. Luke 10, 18 and 19. Jesus is talking to his followers in this portion of scripture. They were sent out to bring good news to people, the good news that you can be free, the good news that you can be forgiven, the good news that you can be well. And they came back and they were surprised. They said, "Even spirits listen to us. They're subject to us." This is what Jesus said to his followers. He said to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." This is good news. Christ gave his followers power to deal with spiritual oppression. So how do we walk in that authority? Listen, scripture again is clear on how you and I can walk in it. James 4 in verse 7. It says this, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." There is a simple verse on how to deal with the enemy. Submit yourself to God. In other words, you need to be a follower of Christ if you want to have power to resist the devil. You can't just know something in your head and try it. But if you've asked Christ into your life, then the same Holy Spirit lives in you that raised him from the dead. You have that kind of power and authority. So then you've submitted yourself to God. You're doing your best to follow God's leading and his direction for your life. Whenever spiritual oppression comes, you have the authority to resist it. When you resist it, it leaves. The funny thing, the enemy, Satan, his demons, they try to look scary, big and strong, but the smallest little Christian person who has Christ in them can just say, "Get out of here," and they have to run. So know that you have that authority. Isaiah 49 and 8 to 9. I want to read this portion of scripture from the Old Testament because it says something really important to how you should speak and declare when dealing with spiritual oppression. And it says this, Yahweh says, I'm reading from the Passion Translation if you're wondering on this verse, "When the time of showing you favor has come, I will answer your heart's cry. I will help you in the day of salvation, for I fix my eyes on you. I have made you a covenant people to restore the land and resettle families on forgotten inheritances. You will declare to prisoners, 'You're free,' and to those in darkness, 'Step out into the light.'" Another version on verse 9 says, "You'll say to the captives, 'Come out,' and you'll say to those in darkness, 'Be free.'" What a powerful verse. If you're a Christian, you are a covenant person, and this prophetic word also comes on you as a covenant person to bring restoration. I love that. Restore the land, resettle families. How many families do you know that are going through all kinds of terrible things right now? You have the authority to bring a resettling, a restoration to them. And God gives us some clues to how it's done. Declaring with authority what needs to be said. When dealing with spiritual oppression, it is not a prayer to God or a begging for him to do something. He's given you and I as Christians that authority. Now we declare it. Let me give you an example. Let's just use a random story. Let's say you're in your yard and a dog comes running into your yard, growling and barking at you. Now, prayer would be, oh Lord, please, Father, come down and do something with this nasty dog. Okay, that's not using your authority. That's prayer. Prayer is important in other aspects, but not dealing with spiritual authorities. Instead, that dog coming barking, growling in your yard, you need to take your authority. You need to tell that dog, this is not your yard, get out. And if necessary, you need to take a big stick and help him get out. It's not a begging, it's a declaring with authority, go. You have no right to be here. So declaring, come out, be free, using the authority God's given you. Well, we are out of time and we need to finish up today. Hey, if you've been listening to this and you've never accepted Christ and you understand, boy, I've witnessed spiritual oppression. I feel it sometimes, but I'm not a Christian yet. How do I become a Christian? It's this simple. It says, confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that God has raised Christ from the dead and you will be saved. If you want Christ to come in, you want to be a Christian, you want to know that, hey, I can have this same spiritual authority, just repeat this prayer after me. If you believe it, it's that easy. So say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me. I ask you now, forgive me of all the things I've done wrong. Make me new. Come into my life. Use me. Thank you, Jesus. I'm yours, and I have your authority. So if you prayed that prayer today, you can know that you are a Christian and that, yes, you're forgiven and you do have that authority. You can live free. Hey, let me just pray and declare for just a short minute or two here, freedom from spiritual oppression to those of you watching. So right now, in the name of Jesus, I declare freedom. Come out of darkness. I declare freedom. Be free from spiritual oppression. I break off curses. I break off bondages right now in Jesus' name. I declare peace of mind. I declare health in the name of Jesus, because he's given us that authority. Amen. So, we love you. God loves you more than you can imagine. Thank you for joining and tuning in with us. Hey, go ahead and subscribe to these videos. Share them if you believe they'll help others. God bless. See you next time.